Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Church Online. I'm so glad you could make it. Welcome. You're still here. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You've made it. It's another week. I think God is going to meet with us as we dig into His Word. So I hope that you're as excited as I am to hear it. I believe that as God speaks and if we open up our heart to Him, I believe that what Jeremiah said is still true, that when you call upon me, the Lord says, I will answer you. Amen. And so you're making a good decision by calling upon the name of the Lord, by getting into His Word and believing that God is going to answer you. We're going to continue on with our series called Greater Than. I'm going to have you turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. Acts chapter 17 is where I feel like the Lord is leading us this week. Acts 17. Moving from there down to Matthew chapter 14. Acts 17, Matthew 14. I want to thank those of you who have been so kind and generous to bless our ministry with your tithes, with your offerings. You guys have been fantastic. Yeah. And every single week, I'm just amazed by the goodness of God and the provision for this ministry. So thank you for that. I am also grateful for all of those who just continue to share this video every week. So if you like it, click the like button. If you're commenting, let us know where you're from and what your story is. But if you really enjoy it, that comment button needs to move to the share button. And that's what we really love to see when people share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They share this message with their friends. Yeah. Yes. It means a lot to me. Yeah. So if you're looking for something that you can do to me to honor Pastor Appreciation,
there you go.
That would mean a lot to me. So this entire series, Greater Than, is just about exposing idols in our life, things that we may not even realize are even happening sometimes. But this is a big deal. It's a big deal to God. And throughout the entire Bible, from the beginning to the end, there's a problem that God's people have with idols. Mm-hmm. And so Psalm 135:5 is our theme verse that simply says, I know that the Lord is great. I know He is. Yeah. I know that He's greater than all gods. That's my ultimate hope for every bit of this series, is that you would recognize the greatness of your God. And not that our idols are so powerful, not that they're so strong or so big, but that your God is greater than those things.
Yeah.
You see, when you recognize the greatness of God, other things just pale in comparison. Yeah. God's great. I love that at the end of the Bible, you know, at the beginning we see that there's idol worship from the beginning of time. Even at the end in 1 John, he looks at his people that are reading this letter and he says, little children, guard yourself from idols. And I think that's an appropriate word to us today. We're still having problems with idols. We may not recognize them like the Bible describes them, but there's a lot of things that we still bow down to today, the things that we place as the one that's calling the shots on the throne of our hearts. And I think God wants to expose some of those things and then have us recognize that God is greater than what we've chosen to put on the throne of our hearts. Yeah. And so as we're digging into the Word this week, I want to just make sure that we define what an idol is. It's anything more fundamental than God that brings us joy, identity, self-worth, or security. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to focus on that security part, because some of you back in my day, you remember the old Charlie Brown thing. There was I believe there's a character on there named Linus that had a security blanket. Was it Linus?
Yeah.
That always had the blanket, this nasty,
yeah, nasty
blanket, you know, that they're always trying to get him to get rid of. And some of you may have had those issues when you were little, that one little thing that you kept to soothe yourself, to calm yourself. And I think there's a point in our lives where you're supposed to outgrow that. But unfortunately, many people will just trade that in for something else. And we look for things to give us security. I want to talk about that a little bit today, when we get our security from places other than God. And so I think we build idols to our security all the time, believing for some strange reason that our God is the God of constant safety. As long as I worship, and as long as I tithe a little bit, as long as I go to church on Sunday, nothing bad can happen to me. God will never ask me to step outside of my comfort zone, because I've paid my dues and God has promised that He has to keep me safe. And there can't be anything uncomfortable in my life, because I need the God of security. My friend, that's a false God. That's a false view of who God is. As a matter of fact, I know that God is our peace. Yes, absolutely. I know that God is our security. Sure. But there are many times in God's Word that He calls us to step out into the great unknown.
That's right.
And it is scary. It makes no sense. It's weird. But I think a false belief is that we think, as long as I have faith, as long as I believe, I don't have to take any steps of faith. I think the Lord is constantly asking us to take steps of faith, and it kind of comes to a head when we're in a situation and we're like, okay, God, why don't you step in? And God's like, why don't you step out? Why don't you step up?
Yeah.
And that's really what I want to talk about today, is we're dealing with the idol of our security. We're going to call it the idol of Photos. The idol of Photos. Photos, F-O-T-A-S. The fear of taking a step. The fear of taking a step. Acts chapter 17, I want you to see this. It says, Paul was going to Greece, and he says this, when Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue. By the way, this is the church with both the Jews. These are God's chosen people and the God-fearing Greeks. So these are people that should have known better. And what one of the things that made Paul so distressed was not that Greece was so full of idols. It had always been full of idols, but that the people that knew better had not influenced culture. You're still allowing these things. You're not using this as an opportunity to preach the gospel. You haven't infiltrated the culture. You've let the culture infiltrate you. So he's distressed to see that this city is full of idols. He did this in the synagogue, into the marketplace, day by day, it says, with those that happened to be there. And a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him, and some of them asked, "What's this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating some kind of foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him to a meeting at the Areopagus. This is a place known as the Rock, a place where they would get around in that traditional Greek theology and ideas. All the reasonings and all the wonderful philosophers would gather around and just talk about ideas. And it says, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing us some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." And I love that Luke is capturing the background. He kind of puts his own parentheses and his own little inner monologue here. He says, "All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking." Nothing but talk. He says, They're listening to the latest ideas. That's all they do. Talk and listen and talk and listen. That sounds good. That sounds good. And then says, Paul then stood up. Paul took a step. Paul comes into this culture and begins to tell them about someone that they had never understood before. Out of all their religiosity, out of all their idols, he begins to tell them about the one true God. The God that perhaps they have heard about but never experienced. Paul says this, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" And that's what I want to talk about today. The God that calls us to know him. The God that we walk around, that we see, but we never understand who he really is because we're constantly holding on to what we can control, to what we know, to what we understand, to what we hope, what we believe in. And I think God is calling us to worship the unknown God, the parts of God that we don't know, the parts of God that we find the mystery. He says this, "So you're ignorant of the very thing that you worship." That word hit me very hard this week because there's so much about God that I still don't understand. And I want that to propel me, not to insult me, to propel me into knowing God more. I want to know him.
Yeah.
And it says this, "And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you, that the God who made the world and everything in it, he's the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in a temple built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything." Please hear me. God doesn't need your tithe. He doesn't need you to serve him. He doesn't need anything from you. It goes on to say what God really wants and desires, what his greatest hope for us is. It says, "Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. And from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." Look at this. "God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us." I love that about God. He said, "My greatest hope is that you would just reach out to me, that you would reach out, that you would call, and then you start knowing me." But it takes us taking a step of faith to reach out, to get to know him, to want to know him. I love that. So, such a gentleman. Our God is such a gentleman. He stands in front of us and just calls. He's like, "Come on, respond to me. Respond to me." Here's the unknown God. It says, "For in him we live and we move and we have our being." He's like, "Hey, this is an important deal. It's a big deal. He's the reason why we're here. He gave us life. He marked out our dates. He placed us where we are for a reason so that we would know him." He goes on to say, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent."
Yeah.
To repent, to turn around from worshiping all the other things that we place on the throne of our hearts, and to come and know the unknown God. Unfortunately, we would rather know the God of security, the photos. We have this fear of taking a step because it is unknown, and it's hard to trust something that we're not sure of yet. How do we know that we're building an idol to Photos? I want to give you a couple things that we see just here in the Athenian culture with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks and what's happening in this moment that I think is still happening today. And first of all, we see that it loves to theorize and talk. It loves to talk. And it may be talking about spiritual things, but not God, not about knowing Him. You know, it says they spend their time talking and doing nothing but talk, listening to the latest ideas. You know, honestly, let me just pull back the curtain for a moment. Pastors are notorious from this, believe it or not.
So true.
Nothing but talk. And they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk. And I found that we also build a separate idol. This is something that hit me this week as well, is that we build an idol up to someday. Someday. And it sounds something like this, when revival comes. Right. Oh, when revival comes.
Oh, goodness.
When revival comes, things are going to change. God's going to do something. He's going to pour out His Spirit. And we build an altar to someday. And God's like, I want you to reach out to me. Yeah. I'm not far from any of you.
Yeah.
God's greatest hope is that men would repent, turn to Him, right. That they would know Him,
yeah.
Know
yeah.
all of Him. Right. But we're busy building an idol to someday. Yeah. And people sound like this, oh, someday I'll tithe when my money gets right. Or someday I'll step out and maybe serve somebody else. Someday maybe I'll join a church. Someday maybe I'll get into a group. Someday maybe I'll worship with my hands raised. Someday maybe I'll take a step of faith, but not today. Maybe someday. Building an idol to someday. And there's a fear of taking a step because it calls us out to something unknown.
That's right.
And the enemy would choose for us to focus on the things that we know, the things that we can control, the things that we can see, the things that we can understand, and we never know the one true unknown God who created us. Paul says you're better than this.
Yeah.
And in the past, God could forgive such ignorance because you didn't know, but now you know.
Yeah.
You can't plead ignorance anymore. Now you know. Yeah. And he's saying, I want to tell you about this unknown God. This is the God that trumps all the other ones. He's greater. He's greater.
Yes.
That idol of Photos loves to theorize. It loves to talk. Here's the second thing. It loves to listen to reason, but does nothing with it. You can make the most clever sounding arguments. You can give the perfect 3 points. You can have people like, man, that was a powerful sermon. So good. So good. Wrecked my life. Really? What did it do with you? What did you do with it on Monday? I don't know. Well, how good was it? If what we're seeing and saying on Sunday doesn't affect Monday, how good was that? How good was that? And we can rant and rave and holler and sweat and spit. I feel sorry for the people in the first couple of rows in our church because that's the spit zone. It's like, hey, that'll flake off when it dries. But in the meantime, if all of this is for nothing, if it doesn't affect Monday, if people never take a step, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're building an idol to Photos.
Yeah.
I love Jesus as long as He doesn't require anything of me. I love God as long as He doesn't call me to be something more than what I want to be and where I'm comfortable. This is a problem in our American culture.
Yeah.
We love the God of the Bible. We just don't love the God that calls us out to live the Bible.
That's good.
What a powerful thing. And it's a concept that I think the Lord was birthing in my own heart, saying, look, I'm reading right out here too. So many times I've been so comfortable with being comfortable. And I don't believe that God called every single person to suffer the rest of their life. That's not what I'm saying. But He calls us to trust and obey.
Right.
Yes.
And those sound like easy words, but they're not.
No.
It loves to reason, but does nothing with it. Here's the third thing that I think is a telltale sign about building an idol to Photos. It appears religious, but is really paralyzed.
Mm.
It doesn't move. It's paralyzed with fear. It says all the right thing, does all the right things, but it's paralyzed. It can't move. It has no move. The Bible calls this faith without works.
Yeah.
Faith without works. Now, God doesn't save you based upon how good you are. That's not what I'm talking about. But He saved you to do something with that saving faith.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with it? God doesn't want you to just pray a prayer and get your fire insurance, get your get out of hell free card. But He wants you to live the rest of your life for His glory and to make a difference with whatever days that you have left. That's my ultimate hope for my life, that God would use me in whatever time I have left to encourage and strengthen as many people as possible to get them to know this unknown God. I want to be about more than just talk.
Yeah.
I want to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Be willing to step out in faith. And my answer to God needs to just be, yes, I trust You. You're a good Father. And if You say it, I can do it. I believe that.
Yes.
It's all about talk. But when it comes to actually walking out, He's pretty paralyzed. He says, I see you're religious in every way, but what are you doing with it? You know, in East Texas, we call this the good old boy syndrome. Well, he's got a good heart. I know the Lord. I got baptized when I was 6. That's about all I need. Jesus is good on Sunday, but on Friday night, that's all me. There's more than that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And you've built an idol that that you call God. That's not God.
That's right.
Yeah. That's actually just a version of you. Someone said that one time to me, and he said, if you serve a God that never disagrees with you, you're just kind of worshiping an idealic version of yourself.
That's true.
Because God calls us out. He challenges us to go beyond what we think we can do, to step into the supernatural, to become something more than what we're comfortable with. Faith without works. That's a concept that comes from James chapter 2, Jesus' half-brother. And I was reading a couple different versions of this. I want to read you the Message version of this. And I don't teach out of the Message a lot, but it was just so good I had to share this with you. James 2, 14 through 18 says, Dear friends, do you think that you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, if you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and he's half-starved and say, Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? He says, I can already hear one of you agreeing with me saying, it sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works departments. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, they fit together hand in glove. How good is that?
That's awesome. Good.
Faith without works is meaningless. James 1:27 says, if you're not willing to take care of orphans and widows, your idol is worthless. That's not God. God's like, there are people around that need you. And I want to be able to count on you to step out on faith and be obedient when I say to give, to go, to be, to listen, to pray. That's who our God is calling us to be.
Right.
Is it unknown? Yeah, it's unknown. And we have to get comfortable with being really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
God never calls us to be safe. He never calls us to comfort. Those things come later. That's heaven. In the meantime, we've got a lot of living to do.
Yes.
Wow.
And our job is to get as many people to heaven with us as possible. Nice. That can't happen if the church is paralyzed. If we build an altar to Photos, the fear of taking a step. But what if I fail? Well, what if you don't? What if you succeed? What if you actually try and you find God there? Well, I believe, Pastor, I believe God can do anything with you, but not with me. And this is where we find a lot of Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in the God of the Bible until it comes time to do something that affects them.
Yeah.
Then it's different. That's not the God of the Bible. You know, the Bible in Hebrews 13 talks about this great hall of fame of these great faith pioneers. And Abraham believed, but he did more than just believe. He actually got up and moved.
Yes, he did.
You know, Moses didn't just believe. He got up and led 2 million people out of slavery.
Yep.
Noah didn't just believe. He started building a boat when rain was just a foreign concept. David himself didn't just believe. He grabbed a rock.
Yeah.
And he didn't just come at Goliath looking at his size and talking about how big he was. He started telling Goliath how big his God was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My God's greater. He's greater than anything that opposes him. I love that. A friend of mine was able to spend some time in Israel this past year. And he went down to the Valley of Elah. The Valley of Elah is where David slew Goliath with a rock. My friend reaches down and he grabs some rock from the brook that runs through the middle of that valley, and he brings it back to me. And it's just a reminder of how small things in the hands of a great God can become miraculous.
Yeah.
Giants fall when God's people take a step of faith.
Absolutely.
Mountains move when God's people take a step of faith.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when we're busy building an idol to the fear of taking a step of faith, we miss it every time.
Mm-hmm.
God is calling us to do more than just talk. He's calling us to repent, to remove that idol, and to replace it with something greater than our fears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fourth thing I'll leave you with is faith steps dethrone Photos.
Yeah.
Faith steps. The Bible tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith walks. Faith shows action. It's a verb. That does more than talk. Faith isn't talk. Faith is walking. And I think we've gotten too comfortable preaching that in our churches, that you got to speak in faith, speak in faith, speak, speak, speak. What about talking and then walking?
There you go.
Actually walking it out. You know, don't just, we're not just going to remove that out. We're going to replace it with something that's bigger than that. We're going to actually start doing something about it, because faith always takes a step.
That's right.
Yeah.
A step. And it doesn't have to be a secure step. It can be a shaky step. It can be a tiny shuffling of the feet, but by gosh, it's movement.
Yeah.
It steps towards the Lord. Okay, God, I hear you. I'm going to try. I'm willing. Whatever it takes. I hear you calling me, and I'm not sure, but I'm willing to do this. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, we find the God of the unknown. The Bible tells us that Jesus had told his disciples to go across the lake. And it says, shortly before dawn, right when it's darkest, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walk on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. They cried out in fear. There's that paralyzing fear, because they see Jesus doing something that's supernatural. But one of them gets a bright idea. Wait a minute. If Jesus can do this, maybe I can too. It says, but Jesus immediately told them, take courage. I love the Greek word there is tharseo, which means be bold. Be bold, exclamation point. And I think that's the word that God is screaming out to his people right where you watch this today. Be bold. Tharseo.
Yes.
Be bold. Take courage. He said, it's me. I'm here. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter says, tell me to come to you. The word there is for tell me is keluo, which means command me, like make me, please. Just if I have a word from you, if you give me a command, my answer is yes. And Jesus tells them, come, come here. Think about that, the power of that moment where he says, I don't just want to walk out to you, but I want it to be at your word. Because I realize that if you've given me a word, if you've commanded me, then I can do things far beyond my comfort zone.
Absolutely.
I can do things that this world would think is crazy. This is nuts. But you step out into the great unknown and you find that Jesus meets you there.
Yes. Yeah.
He meets him there.
Yeah.
You know, he might have only taken a few steps, but it's more than anybody else did.
That's true.
Nobody else had the courage to actually step out.
That's true.
And try walking on water.
That's right.
I wonder what would I have done? Would I have been in shock and amazement? What I've actually had the faith to put the idol of the fear of taking a step out and actually take a step of faith. Wow. You know, he takes a few steps and he starts to sink when he looks at the wind and the waves. But man, that's the human response. And it's easy to say, Peter sank. Like, yeah, but he walked on water. Are you kidding me? He actually did this.
Yes.
He did it. Yeah. And Jesus reaches down and says, you have little faith. But think about this. I've read that before as an insult. But Jesus always also made it very clear that it only takes a little bit of faith to move mountains. Just a little. Faith shows action. It takes action. It says, God, it's your word. If you're commanding me, if this is you, my answer is yes. And I don't like it. I'm not sure. It's not comfortable. It's definitely doesn't make me feel secure at all. But if you're out there and you say that I can do it and you're telling me to step towards you, okay. Is it scary? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. That's where legends are born. Those that take a step of faith and do what nobody else had the faith to do. My friend, I want to encourage you today to stop building an idol to the photos. Stop building an idol to your security. To see God as someone that's calling you out into the great unknown. And it's there that you're going to find a God that you've never understood in a brand new way.
Yeah.
It's there that you're going to find yourself in a way that you've never seen yourself before, full of faith and becoming who God has always meant for you to be. Hope that you can receive that, because for some of us, it's time for you to take a faith step. And that may mean asking Jesus Christ into your heart. That's the very first one.
Yeah.
If you've never asked him into your heart to forgive you of your sins, this is your faith step. It's very clear. And the Lord is commanding you today to repent. Repent of your sins. That means to turn from those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's your first faith step. For some of you, you've never lifted your hands in worship. You're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Who's looking at you?
Yeah.
Some of you, you've never actually poured out your love to God. You never just talked to him. Some of you, you've never stepped foot in a church, and it's time to step foot in church. Some of you haven't come back. It's time to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your faith step? Some of you have never tithed. You've never let the Lord be the Lord of your finances. My friend, that's an idol. That's an idol. Mm-hmm. You can't find your security in money. We're going to talk more about that later. Shocker. But it's a big deal. What's your faith step? Some of you have never prayed for someone else before. What if the miracle that they need is just waiting on the other side of your prayers?
Yeah. Yeah.
What if God uses you? Yeah. What if you're the next Billy Graham? What if you're the next whoever? What if you're the reason why revival hasn't hit? Or could it be that God's saying, I'm waiting for you to step up? What's your step of faith? If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, won't you do me a favor right where you're at? I want to help you take this first step. We do this by saying a prayer. And the prayer goes like this. Just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Save me. And I give my life to you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so proud of you. Would you do me a huge favor? Text the number 94090. Text the words, I prayed, and let me know what just happened inside of your heart. I would love to send you some things that would help you and encourage you and just hear your story. It's always a wonderful thing when people tell me every week, I just prayed to receive Christ. That's a big deal. For everybody else, man, I love you. Don't forget to click that share button. That means a lot to us. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I believe that God is going to move powerfully in your life as you step out in faith and become who God has called you to be. God bless you. Have an amazing week.